Welcome to the Wise Women Diaries podcast. This is where shame and victimhood die. I am a woman that questions everything, so this podcast is a reflection of that. Here we speak on non-mainstream perspectives, like healing our childhood wounds, learning to trust ourselves, the voice of fear versus intuition, and how children are our teachers. We discuss what it looks like to own your power as a woman and step out of the medical paradigm. That's why I am obsessed with interviewing women who trust their bodies and babies in home birth and free birth, and their wild journey from maiden to mother. Ultimately, this podcast is for women who want to thrive and have inner peace, learning how to take radical responsibility for their life and shed victimhood for good.
Hi, my name is Elisa. I'm a mom. I became a mom at 17. I was a young mom. I'm a birth doula. So my own pregnancy and birth journey brought me into birth work. I feel like brought me in, it was my upbringing into what I was meant to be in. For sure. It, I feel like, was definitely divine. It came to me, you know, at a time that was unexpected, but it was much needed. It was an awakening for me in a lot of ways, you know, not just maturing and maturity level, but also with just really starting to understand who I am and who I was, like I said, meant to be. I really feel like it all kind of started before I got pregnant. You know, I feel like before we get pregnant for the first time, we're all kind of living this like crazy life. We don't have responsibilities, especially as a teenager, you know, high school, lots of things happen in high school. There's, you know, friendships, you're battling relationships, grades, jobs for some people, family relationships. There's just a lot going on. When I found out I was pregnant, definitely a crossroad in my life. I was not living with my father anymore. I had moved out of his house. I was dealing with abusive relationships in multiple aspects of my life. The relationship I was in with my partner that ended up being the father of my child, and also my own father living in his house. So when I got pregnant, it ignited this fire in my soul. It began there, I want to say, because that is when I started taking things into my own hands and like accountability and just like knowing like that I need to get on this path, you know, like this baby's coming. I have a lot to prepare for and a lot to know. And I need to get on it, you know? So I was living in Florida at the time when I found out I was pregnant. I didn't have any support down there. I was not in school anymore, graduated. So I had pretty much Actually, I hadn't graduated when I found out I was pregnant yet, sorry. But I was doing online school. I didn't have the support system. So it was kind of, it was scary. I don't want to say it was kind of. It was scary for me when I found out I was pregnant. I didn't know where I was going to end up living. I didn't know what that meant for my future as far as career. As girls and women, like when we get pregnant, you know, I feel like the first person we tell is our mom. You know, she's been there, done that. You go to her, you confide in her, you ask questions. I feel like that's someone that you trust and you gravitate towards during that time in your life. And I didn't have my mom near me in Florida. She had moved to New York. So we were, you know, on opposite ends of the country. So yeah, when I found out I was pregnant, it was just, it was a scary time. And I had a lot of decisions to make very quickly. I ended up moving out of state, just me and the father of my child at the time. I ended up moving when I was 3 or 4 months pregnant. So, you know, I finished up my school online. I am this 17-year-old girl with this baby on the way, and I'm like uprooting my entire life, all of my friends, everything, to just move across the country to be with my mom and to just have the support that I needed. And I ended up getting up here in New York. My mom was also, this is another important aspect. My mom was pregnant at the time as well. So my mom was pregnant with my sister, and I found out I was pregnant at, the same time. So I was just a few months behind her, but we were pregnant at the same time. So that's another reason why I just felt it was so important for me to be close to her, because we were just going through the same thing at the same time. And I really feel like it just was what brought us together. And now my mom is my best friend. Like, it really just, like, it brought us together in a way that, like, we never were before. But so I moved up here. My mom was pretty much due right when I moved up here. I moved and arrived February of 2023. So I've been here just a little bit over a year. My mom, when she moved here, which was just a few months prior to me moving, so it was new for all of us. My mom moved, and then right around the time she moved was when I found out I was pregnant. And then a few months later, I had made the decision, that I needed to join her up, in New York. And I was 3 or 4 months pregnant at that time. So we were up here in New York, and my mom had kind of told me a little bit about what the birth community was like up here, but I don't think I didn't really grasp it, because I was programmed into this thought process that I was going to be giving birth in a hospital just like every other woman does. I have always had a fear of hospitals ever since I was a child. So that was something that was already rooted in me. And I remember, like, being afraid and thinking when I found out I was pregnant, how am I going to do this? Because I couldn't imagine. I was terrified. Yeah, it was very terrifying for me. But I moved up here thinking, I wanted to have a natural birth, but I didn't feel safe doing it on my own. I didn't really understand the entire process. I didn't really understand that there was risk associated with, these interventions or these pain medications. I kind of had in my mind, that I want a natural birth, but, like, we'll see, we'll see. So I was going into it like that. And I move up here, and my mom had, so this was my mom's fifth child, and by this time my mom had been through her own birth journeys several times, through hospitals, C-section, home birth. She had, done it all the ways. And my mom was planning to free birth with my little sister. I just remember thinking how brave she was, and just, like, thinking to myself, like, oh, that is so cool, but I could never do that. I just don't know how she does it, So, and at this point, I'm still this naive young girl. I know I'm pregnant, but I haven't really delved into the world of, birth and, like, everything that happens to women during this time, and all the ways that it can go, and all the ways that it can be messed with in the hospital. And just, I didn't know everything that I know now. So I was just a little baby, just not really understanding everything. My mom ends up giving birth to my sister. She has a free birth in our house just one night. I remember she wanted me to be a part of it, because obviously I was going to be having my own baby. So I get woken up in the middle of the night. I go, and I see my mom give birth to my sister, just as natural and undisturbed as it could be. It was beautiful. It was just her, my stepdad, me, and this wonderful doula that supported her through this journey. And it was beautiful. That was a changing point for me. I was all of a sudden like, I really feel like I should be taking more control here, and just, I need to learn more. I need to know more. I just knew, like, I needed to know more. So that's kind of like where my truth-seeking journey began. I just remember reading on everything I possibly could, following all the accounts, listening to all the podcasts I could, videos, what was another one? Books. I like to read books, so I read, different books. I talked to my mom, obviously, because she had so much knowledge, and so she helped enlighten me too. And it was a lot for me to take in. But then I started forming my own opinions, and I'm like, know what I want for my birth, and it's not in the hospital. I don't think I'll feel safe there. I already know I'm scared of that place, scared of needles, scared of all of it. So my biggest fear was a C-section. I have severe scoliosis to the point where I was on a surgical list. I didn't have surgery, but I do have severe curvature in my back. So I knew that if I went in the hospital, that was probably going to be something they used, you know, for whatever reason, you know, we can't. I knew that they would turn it into my body was failing me, basically. I knew that they would probably give me a hard time if I was struggling, saying, you know, oh, it's because of this, you know. Anyways, through my knowledge and learning all of this, I planned for, you know, a natural birth, and I was like, well, maybe I'll, you know, do a birth center. I don't know whoever's listening, if they live in Western New York, they know how it is here, but there are only two midwives that serve two different birthing centers in my area. And one of those midwives does home birth, but she is very limited with the clients she takes. And she was booked, I want to say she was either booked or she was on vacation for my due date. So here I am trying to plan this birth center birth, you know, all natural, which is what I wanted. But then I just found that like there was no one to facilitate that for me. And I live an hour outside of the city. So if I did want to birth in the birth center, it was going to be, you know, watching when I'm in labor, driving an hour to the birth center. That was kind of my plan for a little bit, but I wanted to learn everything, like the statistics on everything that I could, you know, as far as like transfer and home birth, because I kept saying, you know, I would be fine with planning a home birth, but if something happens, you know, like I'll try it, but like I'll probably end up going to the hospital, you know. I had my like toes into the water. I wasn't so sure. I was nervous, and just like everyone is, you know, especially when it's your first pregnancy, you don't know what to expect. I feel like it's really nerve-wracking because like everyone's just throwing the books at you and just throwing all this information, and it's just a lot to take in, especially for any woman, but especially when you're 17 years old. So, through my research, through time, and even through my own experience, like watching my mom give birth to my little sister, I just started to believe that like I can do this. Like I want this birth. I need to commit to it. I need to commit to something because at this point I'm, you know, 5, 6 months pregnant. I'm, you know, in the middle of my pregnancy. You know, I need to start deciding what I'm gonna do here because I can't be wishy-washy up until the last minute. So I knew I needed to make a decision, and I kind of took this leap of faith. I want to say leap of faith in my mind because at first, when I decided that yes, I was gonna have a home birth, free birth, I was still nervous about it. So even though I was committing to it, I was still nervous, but I knew that when the time came, through my research and through like preparation, my own body, my mind, I knew that I would be ready. And I knew that ultimately my body is gonna give birth. If a baby's coming, a baby's coming. You know, nothing's stopping that. So I committed to it. I took the dive, you know. I knew the birth I wanted, and I just knew that to make that bridge and that connection to where from what I wanted and what I needed to do to get ready for that was just knowledge. And like people say, knowledge is power, knowledge is power, but like it really is power, especially for me in my situation, because the only thing that would ease my mind and make me feel ready and like I could do it was knowing more and just educating myself and understanding natural physiological birth, honestly. So I began to plan this home birth, free birth. I ended up using the same doula that my mom used. So I was very lucky because I know it's kind of like a thing in the birth world where doulas kind of don't want to support these women that are choosing to free birth in fear of, you know, being liable or being sued and whatnot. So it meant a lot to me to have and my mom to have this woman that was willing to support us in our decision, because ultimately, no matter what a woman chooses for her birth, where she feels safe, where she feels comfortable, or, you know, what she wants to do, she deserves to be supported in that. And, you know, it's important. So I did all this preparation. By the time I was due, I was ready. I was, you know, like, you know, this baby needs to come. I'm excited. I had the birth pool all blown up, had beautiful lights, florals, flowers. I had the little fireplace in there, and I had, little things that reminded me of things that were important to me, a cross, my daughter's ultrasounds, a picture of my grandma who had passed during my pregnancy, just little things that were important that would keep me going. My labor started around 6:30 at night. I went into labor. I labored for 11 hours total. I ended up giving birth to her at 5:42 a.m. the next morning. My water broke 40 minutes before she was born. So everything just it happened perfect. There was no complications. Not at any point during my labor did I feel that I was scared, that I was confused. I just felt like I did such a good job of preparing myself and just having all of the knowledge that I needed to know what was going on. I didn't feel scared at all. I knew what I was like. I was in the labor land in your mind. I was just like, this is what I'm doing. I'm into it. We're getting there. So, gave birth to my daughter. It was beautiful. Like I said, I gave birth to her in the birth pool. Just, I think it was like two pushes and she was out. It was beautiful. So empowering. I remember after I had given birth, I was telling my mom, like, it feels like I didn't even have a baby. This is crazy. I couldn't believe I did it. I felt amazing. Me and baby were recovering. Everything was good. And I had given birth on a Saturday. So I had a prenatal appointment scheduled for that following Monday in case I hadn't had the baby yet. Little bit about my prenatal care. I was seeking prenatal care from a OBGYN slash midwifery group in my area. I was being seen by a midwife. She was like well known in my area. The place had good reviews. And I thought, I want to see a midwife, not an OB. But I knew that ultimately who I was seeing wasn't going to be supporting me in my birth because I knew that I didn't have that option for my birth. So I wanted a medical professional there, but I knew that there was only one midwife that would do it in the area, and she was not available. So I was like, I have to take matters into my own hands at this point. Even though I want this support for my birth, it's not available, but I still want the birth that I want. I don't want to sacrifice that. So I just was seeking prenatal care from these midwives, and they were aware, that I was considering the possibility of home birth. They knew that I wanted like an all natural birth, and I had talked with them, if I had ended up transferring to the hospital, what I would want in the hospital. So like we had these conversations, and they were, receptive to those things. But when I started seeking prenatal care from these midwives, I was looked down upon for being a young mom with my midwife. We had lots of conversations during my prenatal appointments that were not about the health of me or my baby. They felt very invasive, asking questions about my home life, jobs, who was working where, if I was working, if my baby was planned, just all kinds of things that were super invasive and not, they made me feel really judged. She was very, I don't know, passive aggressive. I kept seeking this care because I wanted to make sure that me and my baby were healthy. I wanted to make sure I was a good candidate for home birth, which we were. I went through my pregnancy with no complications, no health issues, anything, same for the baby. So everything was good. So after my birth, I gave birth on a Saturday, so I called Monday morning and I asked to switch my prenatal appointment to a postpartum. Well, the nurse on the phone starts questioning me about how I gave birth to my baby. And I told her I had a home birth. And I said, I'm just calling to schedule a postpartum visit for myself. I just want to come in and have myself checked out. Me and baby are doing great. Everything's fine. But, I just want to come in for my postpartum. She's like, oh, well, let me, talk to your midwife, see what she says. She'll call you. So I hang up the phone and I get on. Sabatino calls me and I answer. And she's questioning me about this home birth. And I can tell that she's not really pleased with my decision. So She just the way she was speaking to me and questioning me, it was almost as like I was like incompetent. She told me on the phone that she felt like I had planned it. She questioned me about the means of how, oh, how did you, cut the umbilical cord? Did you tie in a knot? So I was just like, oh my. So I answered her questions. I remember feeling scared, and it was so crappy because I just had this beautiful birth, and then these people were just badgering me. And I just felt like I felt like Superwoman, like I had just done something so amazing. And these people were just, this woman was just making me feel like the worst person ever. And I was one of the women that had to receive the Rogam. I say had to because I didn't know at the time that I could have refused it, but I received the Rogam shot during my pregnancy. So she was concerned about me receiving my Rogam after birth. And she was urging me to come to the hospital, bring my baby in, come get checked out. And I kind of told her on the phone that, I'd think about it, and I appreciate, her time. I just told her, I'll think about it. So we got off the phone. I did my own research that morning on the Rogam, and I ultimately decided that I didn't want it. I didn't think I needed it, so I decided that I wasn't going to get the Rogam. And I gave birth at home for a reason. I was not bringing my baby into the hospital. The baby was fine. My baby was seen by her pediatrician, so we knew that she was fine. Me and baby are fine. We're both healthy. I decide we're not going to the hospital. We're 2 days postpartum. So of course, like, what woman is going to want to leave the comfort of her home to go to this hospital? Be there for hours, have them take your baby, do all these tests. Like, I was not interested in that at all. I had avoided the hospital to avoid so many things. And just one of those things was the newborn procedures and just everything they do after birth and all of the disruptiveness. I just didn't want any part of it. So I get off the phone. I'm going about my day. Everything's fine. And a few hours later, I get this call from this midwife again. And I'm just thinking, like, I just ignore it because I already know that it's going to be, asking me probably if I'm coming to the hospital. So I ignore the phone call and I get a voicemail. And at the same time, my mom gets a voicemail. So she called my mom and me, because I was a minor at the time. She tells me on the phone. She asked me my whereabouts and if I had intentions on showing up to the hospital with my baby. She said, I just want to make sure that you have intentions of showing up because if you don't, we'll have to call CPS. She's trying to be nice on the phone, saying, oh, well, I really don't want to do that. You just need to bring your baby in. And I didn't talk to her after that, but my mom called. Like I said, I was a minor at the time. So my mom calls her and she's telling my mom on the phone that I just need to bring my baby in. I need to come in. She's like, we're not doing that. We're not doing that. And you threatening CPS on this young mother who had just had a beautiful, empowering birth is wrong. So she basically tells my mom, that she's gonna be calling regardless. And my mom told her, she goes, okay, go ahead. Go ahead and call on us. So, we thought this was all bluff. A couple hours later, I have police and CPS knocking at my front door. And like I said, I'm a 17-year-old girl. I'm 2 days postpartum. You can imagine the emotion, the hormones, everything. I'm holding, my little newborn baby and I'm crying to this police officer on my porch because I just don't understand why this was happening to me. I didn't understand why this woman was doing this to me. And I say that, and it's funny because, like, I did all this research and I birthed out of the hospital to avoid potential trauma and abuse, and I still managed to be a victim to the system and this type of, abuse, even though I chose to birth out of the hospital. So I knew that it happens to women all over. I know that this is so common, but you never think it's going to happen to you. You never do. And it happened to me. And it just, like I said, I was crying to this police officer on my porch. I was just telling him, like, I didn't do anything wrong. I didn't do anything illegal. I'm being treated like a criminal because I chose to take control of my own pregnancy, my own birth. And I gave birth at home where I was comfortable. And, nowhere does that say that that's a crime or child endangerment or any of that. So I just really didn't understand how this could be happening to me when I didn't do anything to provoke it. So this cop, he, basically told me like he was there to do a welfare check. So then come to find out that she didn't just call CPS on me. She called CPS and then called police as well, requesting a welfare check on me and my baby. So not only did she call CPS on me, but that is why I had police officers and CPS at my door, was because she called both. It's a lot for me to take in. I'm just, I'm terrified because anytime you think CPS, like, oh, they're gonna take my baby, I was terrified. So I didn't speak to the CPS woman. We were refusing. We absolutely refused. I spoke to the police officer. I respected that, but I was like, I didn't do anything wrong. I didn't endanger my baby. No, I'm not feeding into this. I'm not gonna lay down because this midwife didn't like that I birthed at home. Like, I'm not gonna lay down and just accept this. Like, this is not okay. So we fought and we were badgered by the CPS worker, threatening to get warrants to come into our home if we didn't let her in. She wanted to know where my baby slept. She wanted to know how the baby was being fed. She wanted to see the baby. It was just absurd. It was absolutely absurd. Finally, after like a week and a half of going back and forth with the CPS worker, telling her that we're not letting her in our home, like, we haven't done anything wrong, we're getting a lawyer, she finally agreed to. She's like, well, we can meet in the driveway and I can just, see the baby. And I want to see a picture of where she sleeps. So we did that. And she was out there. We were having like our little meeting. We're not happy about this because, like, it still feels like we're giving in. And I just feel like I didn't want to give in at all because I knew that I didn't do anything wrong. And, like, this was my right, my full-on right to give birth where I felt comfortable. And, like, I did the right thing of seeking prenatal care to make sure that me and my baby were healthy, to make sure that I wasn't dangerous, to make sure that, there wasn't risks for me or her. Like, I did what I was supposed to as a mother. And making sure that me and my child were safe and healthy and that we could do this. And I was being treated, just like I said, as a criminal and just so terribly. So, in my meeting with the CPS worker, she reads me partial of the report that was submitted, which obviously we know who submitted the report because the midwife said that she was calling on me. So, she reads me this report. She even says, the midwife that called this in, she says, it says here, you don't have intentions of getting, or you haven't gotten your Rogam shot. Do you have intentions on getting that? And I looked at this woman and I'm like, do you even know what the Rogam is for? Because the Rogam is for future pregnancies, to protect future pregnancies. It doesn't have anything to do with a child that's already born. So I asked this woman, does she even know what the Rogam shot is for? And she says, no. So here I am being questioned, A, by a stranger who should have no idea what decisions I made for myself during pregnancy, what I declined, what I, she should have not known anything about my medical history. And then she's questioning me about if I was going to get this shot. She doesn't even know what it's for. So I remember feeling so angry and just so violated. Not only was my birth, my beautiful birth, tainted after the fact, but it was also that I was violated. My privacy was violated. It was just awful. Basically, after I met with this CPS worker, I knew what had happened. I knew that I had been a victim of this obstetric abuse that so many women, they face this every day. Women giving birth every day deal with, and like they don't even know. They don't even think that this is abusive. They don't think that this is wrong. They think that, their doctor is looking out for them or whatever it may be. But it really started to sink in. Like, I can't believe that I made this decision for myself, and I just had this beautiful birth, and I birthed outside of a hospital to avoid this very thing. And then they still found a way to mess with me. And it made my postpartum journey very rough. I remember feeling, like I said, very angry. And I wanted to do so many things about it, but I didn't know what to do. And I was newly postpartum, trying to just, stay afloat. I feel like because I was so young and just, I was so prepared for the birth part, but I just feel like postpartum is where I really was like hit like a train. And so like with everything that happened after my birth, it was just very traumatic for me. It made me feel so many different emotions at once, to the point where I just wanted to like put it away in a box and not deal with it, because I felt so many things and so strongly about it, but at the same time, I was just not ready to fight this fight. I remember I went in to my 6-week postpartum check, and I still went to that practice just because I wanted to show that I had, been consistently going to a practice. I asked to speak to the manager or whoever ran the office, and I remember telling her, I told her, what happened and what this midwife did, and like the violation of my rights, my HIPAA rights, and all of it. And she kind of just brushed me under the rug. I remember telling her that I would not keep my mouth closed about this practice. I will tell every woman that I can about it to prevent them from dealing with the same thing and being abused in the way I was. And this woman, she told me that it was a shame that I was going to badmouth the practice just because of the actions of one person, which there was nothing done about the violation of my HIPAA rights. Like, this person still works there. She still works there. It's insane. So I talked to this office manager. I don't know what you would call her, but she, kind of brushed me under the rug. And it's like, I went to the higher up, that person above that person, and it wasn't getting anywhere. And so like I said, I wanted to do something about this, but like I didn't know how, and I wasn't ready because I was just dealing with so many emotions and postpartum and just getting hang of normalcy again. It was just like I wasn't ready.
Your story really does detail what happens to a woman when she is, quote unquote, defiant, where she's not following the good girl rules. You get punished, you get reprimanded. And while you're saying this, I'm like, this is happening in America, and this happens in America. And people think, we have freedom, and yes, we do in some ways, but you don't have freedom to birth your baby at home without being reprimanded by government systems. This is what happens to a lot of women.
It is. And it's after my experience, after just the way that I was shoved away, as if I didn't matter, as if what happened didn't turn my world upside down, because it absolutely did. It's such a terrible feeling. It's a terrible feeling for something to happen to you like that, and then no one will listen to you or do anything about it or stand up for you. And then I feel like a lot of the time we just feel so small compared to these people, because they hold this power over our heads, like that they, have this degree, or they're this doctor, or they have the power to just, call and have these cops and these CPS workers show up to your house for absolutely no reason. I just remember like feeling so, and I still feel this way a little bit, but it's different now because obviously in the beginning when it happens, it's so fresh. It's just all this trauma, and you're just processing everything. But now that I'm finally, like, I'm 7 months postpartum, and I'm just now feeling ready to share this, which it's great that I can finally share this with people, because I know that I'm not the only woman that's experienced this. I have shared my story on, social media platforms, just, Facebook groups and stuff, and I've had just women on there telling me that they had similar experiences with being, threatened with CPS, it's coercion. It's wrong. It's the same thing as, you know, if someone says no and then someone just disregards, it's the same thing in the medical field. Like, these doctors are using their power and this threatening of CPS and police to get women to do what they want them to do. And it's sick.
Yeah, because they're so threatened by a woman in her power. They are.
Yeah. And I fully believe that this woman was just angry that I was so young and also taking control. I feel like that was intimidating for her. I really don't know what her thought process was, but I do know that they did not think that what I did was okay. They thought that I deserved to be reprimanded for it. Like I said, and this has like lit a fire for me, and it's made me a better birth worker. It's made me a better doula because obviously I want to support women who want to birth the way they want to. And I'm not afraid of, you know, I'm a doula. I'm emotional, physical support person. I'm not a medical professional, and I'll never claim to be, but I will support women in their choices because a mother knows what's best for her. A mother knows what's best for her individual child, for her individual unique situation. And I don't think anyone has a right to tell you otherwise, honestly. And if you birth the way that you want, you deserve to have the support that you want. And like I said, not that I didn't want a medical professional at my birth, but I couldn't have one because of the lack of resources in my area and the lack of people that want to support women who choose to birth outside of the hospital. So it's really sad. It sickens me and it makes me sad because I know I can speak out about my story and I can share this everywhere, but and it can make a dent, but it's not going to change the way that the system works because it's just so large. So yeah, it really like makes you feel small and like you can't do anything about it. But I think it's important for women to know that the only way we're going to change this system is by doing exactly this and speaking out about it and sharing our stories and gathering as women, gathering together because we are stronger together and birth belongs to women and it doesn't belong to anyone else. Your birth, your baby, your body, it's all unique and just specific to you. And it's so sacred and it's so private. And I just feel like it's exploited. And these women that want to have these, you know, intimate, undisturbed, natural births outside of these hospitals, and they're targeted by medical providers. And since this has happened to me, I've learned that it's like a common thing that happens to women who choose to home birth, free birth. They are then hit with CPS right after because it's almost like these doctors, there's nothing else for them to do. So they're like, okay, well, we're calling CPS. You know, you won't bring your baby in. You won't come in. We're just going to call CPS. We're just going to make your postpartum journey a living hell until you listen to us.
Yeah, I feel like these specific medical professionals that do call CPS probably have the God complex where, you know, obviously they're brainwashed from the medical system that they are gods and they are needed. But I think these specific individuals, you know, could be narcissistic and have some sort of spectrum of that, of how dare you not need me? How dare you do it on your own and you didn't need me? And it's like a betrayal to them. And they feel betrayed that you didn't need them. And then, you know, their ego, you know, gets revenge. It needs revenge. How dare you not need me? You know, because there's some really amazing medical professionals and then there's some evil ones, and you encountered an evil one. And there's one more thing I wanted to point out where this is going off topic now. Not really, because this is still your story, but I want to say how amazing it will be to see the woman you bloom into because you got to learn your power as a woman in true physiological birth at 17 years old. You have like a leg up on so many women in this society. And I'm like, that's just, this is so exciting because people, people really disrespect teen pregnancy and really look down upon these women, and you experience that. But there's this other perspective that I see in you already, that you got to learn the truth of your womanhood way earlier than these other women. And like, I am so excited to see who you bloom into now in your 20s and 30s.
Thank you. Yes. Of course, when it first happened, it's like, you know, you're so angry and, you know, you feel this, all these emotions, this betrayal, this sadness.
I think it's grief because you should have had this beautiful postpartum of bonding with your baby, and it was trampled on.
Yes. I really do feel that, even though, you know, this should never happen, and I wouldn't wish that on any woman, but I'm thankful it happened, because when you're, it's one thing to speak about something, but, and that's great, but it just really, because I know that, like, this is where I'm meant to be. This is where I'm supposed to be, helping these women, supporting them in their birth choices, in, out of the hospital, with, without medical providers. Whatever birth looks like to you should look, it should be that way. And I wouldn't be able to support women in the capacity that I am if it wasn't for my own personal experiences. And I'm like, even though I knew, like I said, I knew that trauma happens in hospitals, outside of the hospitals too, but I knew that trauma happens and abuse happens and stuff, but I just never thought I would be a victim of that. And it was a lot for me to process. And it was just a lot. But it's great now, because I can speak about it without feeling those same emotions, but I still feel the fire, and the fire will always be there. You know, it's not going to go away. It's not going to fade. It's not going to dim. If anything, it will get brighter. It will keep burning, because I have this passion, and I had this passion all my life. I've always loved babies and birth. And then, you know, I became a young mom and experienced this and just really started to connect with my body and understand how it works, and just going through even what I did postpartum and just this traumatic experience, all of that has just given me all of this knowledge and power to be able to put it out into this world. And I feel like that's what we need. We need more people to do this and speak out about their trauma, or just help educate women and empower them and tell them that, you know, you can do this. And you don't need this person's approval. You don't need this doctor's approval, and you don't have to answer to anyone. You know, you don't have to live up to this standard, you know, 'cause every birth is different. Every baby is different. Every woman is different. And, you know, even with one woman with multiple children, each pregnancy is different. Every time this magical event unfolds, it's different. It will never, no two births are the same. So it's just, it's something that is so unique to the woman that's experiencing it, the baby that's being born. It shouldn't be so mainstream, and, you know, it needs to be like this, and you need to do this, and all these certain things, and you need to give birth this way, and, you know, you should give birth in this amount of time. And it just doesn't make sense to me. It's so arbitrary, honestly.
Yeah, when you're saying it like that, it's actually insanity to put something so unique, so beautiful, so different for every birth and every woman into a little box. And if you don't fit into this little box, boom, surgery is needed. You know, tests are needed, antibiotics are needed, surveillance is needed. And that's where all the trauma comes from, usually. Your trauma was different. I mean,
yes.
I mean, your trauma was with, you know, kind of being programmed to go to this system to say, you know, you need to tell me if I'm healthy, you know, because we all have that programming of, I need to have a health professional tell me if I'm healthy.
Exactly. Once your eyes are open to this sort of thing, I feel like you really start to like laugh at like how silly it is that they think that we don't know anything about our own bodies. Even going back to me being getting pregnant at a young age and being a young mom, experiencing teen pregnancy, even before I got pregnant, they shove this birth control in your face. They shove all of these, they shove that on you as soon as you, I feel like, start your menstrual cycle. It's like, here's this birth control. And, I was on birth control and I've experienced birth control and I have experienced that path of, I've lived that life of trusting doctors and trusting someone else with your health and your body. And I came quickly to learn that it shouldn't be that way because we're the only people, like, we're the only person living in our bodies. We're feeling what we're feeling. We're experiencing the symptoms we're experiencing. We're seeing the things we're seeing. And ultimately, all overall, women, we have an intuition and it's real. It's important. And when it becomes dangerous is when that is dulled and when you are desensitized to be able to listen to your intuition, because that's what it does. It clouds your mind. This, like, thinking that your doctor, because it's like you're not taking the responsibility. You're just, oh, well, my doctor says this, so I should do this. My doctor says.
The word is dependency. We're programmed to depend on someone else to know more about our body, to depend on someone else to tell us if we're healthy. And then when we cut off, we like clip that dependency and we're like, no, I'm responsible. Some of us might get punished, like with your postpartum.
Exactly. One thing I didn't even touch on, but before this journey, I mean, I found my power certainly when I became pregnant and informed and had this empowering birth journey. But even before I became pregnant, like I said, with the birth control and just being a young teen girl, I had some really bad experiences on birth control. And after years of listening to my doctor and just trusting that, this was what I needed to do, I knew that it was ruining my body. The pain and just the symptoms that were associated with it, I just knew that it wasn't normal. I knew that my body felt crappy every time I was on the depot shot. So, every time I'd go and get the shot, I would feel crappy. And I finally said, let's see how I feel without it. And that's when I decided to get off birth control and stop listening then to my doctor about just putting these chemicals and hormones into my body, because I could tell by the way I felt. And I was like, something's not right here. I did my own research then too on birth control and what it does to your body. And they say, like, you can prevent pregnancy from tracking your cycle. And it's true. And all you need to do is just, you have to learn how your body works, because putting these hormones into your body and expecting your body not to carry out this natural process is, it's not gonna work. It's not gonna work and it's not healthy. You're preventing your body from doing something it's supposed to do. And your body's gonna find a way to try to keep carrying out this normal process because it's like, what's happening here? This is not normal. So, I mean, of course, like you said, everyone talks down on teen pregnancy, and it's funny for me to be like, oh yeah, like I knew so much about my fertility and my cycle and my body, but I still got pregnant. But I mean, birth control fails just as much as anything else. So, nothing's ever 100%, but I feel like it's important not only to take control and accountability for your own birth and pregnancy, but also just your overall health and, like, your reproductive health as a woman. It's important to understand how everything works so that you can be informed, you can make the decisions that are right for you with the information that you know.
Yeah, amazing. Is there anything else that you feel like you forgot to mention?
I just want to stress how important it is to understand that you are in this vessel. This is your body, and no one knows you like you. So I really feel like all women, the power comes from knowledge, and it comes from understanding your body and exercising your own body autonomy, because that is your right. And I don't care what anyone has to say about that, because it is your right. And nothing has to happen that you don't want to happen. And whatever your pregnancy, birth, or even just, you know, your regular reproductive health journey looks like, it's only unique to you. And only you can make the choices that are right for you.